Hi, this is Bobby Humphrey. You're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM.
Coming up next is Ecologic, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
A boutique and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, telling where we're gonna plant our seed, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Welcome. Glad you could join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic for July 8th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today we speak to Paula Rogovin of the Coalition to Ban Unsafe Oil Trains about their 10-year fight for rail safety legislation. But first, we have information about sargassum seaweed, a divestment attempt, radioactive materials on Florida roads, Green Amendment Day, and a National Marine Sanctuary off the New York City coast.
We try to start every show with good news. Every week, we say, clean air and water are healthy air and water. It's really a no-brainer, but sometimes people need to hear it from another source. The prestigious medical journal, The Lancet, has an article saying just that, but using more than one sentence to say it. The Lancet article researched many databases and has thousands of studies and goes into detail on how cleaner air and water improve health problems and by how much, with an emphasis on motorized transit. We link to the Lancet and EcoWatch articles on our website, www.ecoradio.org.
The following story is not a celebration of nature, as we'd like to treat you to, although the marine life is thriving. Clumps of the 5,000-mile sargassum seaweed blob, combined with the plastic in the ocean, bring flesh-eating bacteria to the beaches from the East Coast to the Gulf of Mexico and reaching to the African coast. This danger is most certainly a human-made disaster, plastics in the ocean. The sargassum seaweed is very successfully growing into a huge mass, floating in the Atlantic Ocean and washing up on beaches everywhere. That may seem innocent enough. We always see seaweed on the beach, yes? Well, yes, but not this seaweed. This Sargassum seaweed has become a floating haven for creatures to live in, birds to land on, and unfortunately, plastic. It brings to the beaches a flesh-eating bacteria that makes the beaches unusable. Destroying the floating mass in the ocean is a futile task, but even attempting it hurts the creatures who have settled there. Sophie Ringel, founder of the nonprofit Clean Miami Beach, said, "It's very alarming in the first place to see it on the beaches, and alarming to see all the plastic that is entangled in it. And now, even more than that, there's harmful bacteria too? That's so scary."
When I was a kid, before I became an oceanography major in college, I read a lot of books and magazine articles about oceanography and became fascinated with the Sargasso Sea, an area of the Atlantic Ocean that was its own ecosystem with endemic plants and animals. I had thought that the ocean was the ocean, but here was an ecosystem within the ocean and yet separate from the rest of it. I looked at pictures of the weird Sargasso seahorse for hours, but that was then. Now, the currents and oceanic wind patterns have changed so much that the seaweed that was only in the Sargasso Sea is found in much of the Atlantic south of the Sargasso Sea, spreading both east and west, hitting beaches in the Caribbean, Africa, Mexico, and Florida. To make matters worse, the plastic in the ocean is combining with that seaweed and breeding flesh-eating bacteria. Just one more way in which we humans are devastating the planet.
Radioactive waste dumped into the waterways is bad enough. Now there's a new radioactive waste threat. Florida is allowing radioactive uranium runoff from fertilizer production to be used in their road construction. Years ago, Donna met someone who gleefully bragged that he had a use on roadways for polluted material that otherwise had no profit potential. We hope that practice never happened and had been stopped. But as we know, the bad guys don't stop trying. Florida actually passed a law approving the use of phosphogypsum, which is a radioactive runoff from phosphorus fertilizer production containing uranium and thorium, in the construction of new roads. The new law is the legacy of a Trump-era decision by the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, to allow phosphogypsum in construction. The Biden administration quickly reversed that change, citing the likelihood of trace metals being absorbed by groundwater and radioactive toxins being dispersed in the air by wind and traffic. So why is it happening? HB 1191, the law first passed by the Florida state legislature in February, adds phosphogypsum to a list of recyclable materials that can be used in construction. That list includes waste from coal production and old car tires.
The limited kinda good news is that the law does not immediately put phosphogypsum on roadways. The bill won't take effect until Florida's Department of Transportation, DOT, conducts a study on the effects of using the substance in public roads. The state DOT has until April 1st, 2024 to complete the study. Time to make those calls, emails, and petitions. Once it becomes acceptable to use this on roads in Florida, it could end up on roads anywhere. Another example of government cavalier treatment of the terrible health effects of radiation. Florida produces most of the country's phosphorus fertilizer, so the piles of waste called gyp stacks are huge, spanning up to 800 acres and about 200 feet high. This has a huge impact on the environment. 2 years ago, excessive rainfall caused a stack of this waste to collapse into the Piney Point Reservoir. The reservoir then flooded into the ocean, causing red tide that killed about 1,600 tons of marine life and forced evacuations in nearby towns. Jacqueline Lopez, an environmental law professor at Stetson University in Florida, told Bloomberg News, "The half-life of a phosphogypsum stack radioactive decay is 1,600 years. So this is going to be a problem for me, my kids, and their kids," end quote. When you see or hear the term half-life, realize that it takes 10 to 12 half-lives for any substance to be statistically zero. So in this case, it's 16,000 to 19,000 years.
Another threat is the lack of understanding of how harmful radioactive tritium is to our health. The industry lies about it being no big deal, and many otherwise intelligent activists accept that. In order to justify dumping radioactive waste into local waterways, the radioactive polluters are trying to convince people that tritium is not harmful. Even some environmentalists are accepting and repeating industry lies. One person said tritium only lasts 12 years. That's the half-life of tritium. It takes 10 to 12 half-lives for the amount of radiation to be statistically zero, not actually zero. Also, it's virtually impossible to separate tritium out of water. Basically, tritium is water with radioactive hydrogen, so it's almost identical to standard water. Tritium is the name given to a form of radioactive hydrogen. Tritiated water is H2O, where at least one of the H's, ordinary non-radioactive hydrogen, is replaced with tritium. That water is now radioactive, but it still behaves like water. It flows, it evaporates, it goes into clouds, it falls as rain, it gets into our bodies. That's why it's so dangerous. We think most of you know not to listen to industry press releases and the people who quote them, but we keep meeting people who quote that PR without questioning it. Look for an upcoming show devoted to this major issue.
In a few minutes, we'll be talking to Paula Ragovin about some horrible derailments, but trains are not inherently unsafe. In the past, when corporate executives came up through the ranks, they knew rail operations inside and out. Now it's all about maximizing profits. Does that sound like other industries? I really enjoy riding trains. Here's Johnny Cash inviting us to come along and ride this train.
Come along and ride this train. Come along and ride this train. Across the mountains, prairies, reservations, rivers, levees, plains. Come along and ride this train. I know a land where mountain streams are running free. I know a prairie where there's miles between each tree. I know where there's people you would like to get to know. Come along with me and go. Come along and ride this train. Come along and ride this train. Across the mountains, prairies, reservations, rivers, levees, plains. Come along and ride this train. I heard a story that I'd like to share with you. I know a valley that I'd like to take you through. Show you things that I am sure you'd like to see. Come along and go with me. Come along and ride this train. Come along and ride this train. Across the mountains, prairies, reservations, rivers, levees, plains. Come along and ride this train. Come along and ride this train. Come along and ride this train. Across the mountains, prairies, reservations, rivers, levees, plains. Come along and ride this train.
That was Johnny Cash singing Come Along and Ride This Train. It's a good reminder of what was once a much more common way to travel and why the system is worth protecting and improving.
The Unitarian Universalist Association, UUA, had its annual business meeting, known as General Assembly, GA, in late June. Normally, this would not be environmental news, but on the agenda was a resolution proposed by a group of young adults called Complete Divestment from the Fossil Fuel Industry and Subsequent Reparations. This was created in response to a perceived lack of action on earlier resolutions to divest, passed in 2014, 2020, and 2021. What motivated the resolution was some of the proposers being at Line 3 protests, responding to a UU call, and finding out that the UUA held shares of Enbridge, the company financing police who attacked protesters with rubber bullets.
Whoa.
When they approached the investment committee, They were told that they needed to get a business resolution passed to GA. This was no small task, requiring 400 signatures, but the group accomplished that to be met with resistance and scare tactics from the board and investment committee. The divestment team hosted information sessions about 2 weeks before GA, rebutted the inaccurate material presented by the UUA establishment, and although they did not succeed in getting the resolution passed, they did get a 30% vote in favor in adverse circumstances. Next year, they may well succeed.
We recently saw this report about the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, by staff reporter Jeff Edwards of Austining Patch, which we quote, in June of 2022, NOAA announced it was launching the designation process to name the Hudson Canyon as a National Marine Sanctuary. The Hudson Canyon is located offshore about 100 miles southeast of the Statue of Liberty. The undersea geographic formation is the largest canyon off the Atlantic coast of the U.S. and one of the largest submarine canyons in the world. The Hudson Canyon is an essential habitat for hundreds of species. The proposed sanctuary would encompass an ecologically rich area near one of North America's most populated coastlines and in the process protect deep sea coral, marine mammals, fish, marine turtles, and seabirds, as well as other species essential to fisheries like squid, crab, and tuna. Join NOAA on Thursday, July 13th, 2:30 to 4:30 to find out more. The registration link is on our website, ecoradio.org.
That same day, Thursday, July 13th, is also the third annual National Green Amendment Day, led by Four of the Generations. Green amendments are making a difference in three states, Pennsylvania, Montana, and New York, including in one of the young people's lawsuits on which we reported recently. There are a variety of activities planned, including getting business support, making videos, and a live prize drawing at noon for those already working on green amendments, and a live panel at 4 p.m. for everyone. The goal of the day is to prove that green amendments are not scary, that they're making a difference, and to demonstrate growing support.
Here is the first part of Gordon Lightfoot's Canadian Railroad Trilogy.
Did not run. When the wild majestic mountains stood alone against the sun. Long before the white man and long before the wheel. When the green dark forest was too silent to be real. But time has no beginnings and the history has no bounds. As to this verdant country, they came from all around. They sailed upon her waterways and they walked the forest tall. Built the mines, the mills, and the factories for the good of us all. And when the young man's fancy had turned into the spring, restless for to hear the hammers ring. Their minds were overflowing with the visions of their day. With many a fortune won and lost and many a debt to pay. For they looked in the future and what did they see? They saw an iron road running from the sea to the sea. Get on our way, cause we're moving too slow. Bring in the workers and bring up the rails. We gotta
That was Gordon Lightfoot singing Canadian Railroad Trilogy. Special thanks to Charlie Olson of the Environment TV for helping to get the recorded portion of our show ready for you. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein.
And I'm Ken Gale. Coming up is our guest, Paula Rogovin, discussing the struggles in making our railways safer.
It's been a few weeks, and Governor Hochul has not signed the Save the Hudson bill to stop Holtec from dumping radioactive wastewater that was passed by both houses of the New York legislature. She hasn't even asked for it. The bill got bipartisan support, and now nothing yet. Call Hochul and tell her to ask for the bill. That's a procedure required by law. And then sign it or not, but take action. The info we gave you earlier about the dangers of tritium was given with this bill in mind. The info we gave you earlier was given with this bill in mind, I'm telling you, so please think about that. Call the governor and give your opinion about the bipartisan bill to ban the dumping of tritium into the Hudson River. Her number is 518-474-8390. That's 518-474-8390.
We were so saddened to learn that our good friend and fellow activist from Peekskill, Marie and Sarah, passed away earlier this week. Marie was the co-founder of the City of Peekskill Environmental Film Series and a member of United for Clean Energy, U4CE, Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition, IPSEC, and Resist Spectre Pipeline. She will be deeply missed.
Yeah.
Other stations are full of ads. We're not. We don't tell you to buy things you don't need, but don't you need WBAI? There is no other station like it. We don't bend to corporate advertisers at WBAI, but at other Pacifica stations, as our funds come from listeners like you and a few public service announcements.
We often hear from people who used to listen to WBAI, usually about how they rediscovered us and appreciate our independence in the news, information, and entertainment that is so different from corporate media. We have such a great history. Some of us have been listening for decades, not always consistently, but we come back and find good programs.
Some of them are old favorites. Ecologic has been on WBAI for more than 21 years. Help ensure that when you tune in next, we are here for you. Please support us with a donation today to let us know that you are listening. No amount is too small or too big. You can contribute by mail or call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
Those of you who are members, please watch out for the upcoming vote. It will be as important to saving the station as it was back in October 2019. If you have donated at least $25 since last July up to June 30th this year, or volunteered at least 3 hours, you are considered a voting member. There's voting every year, so becoming a member is always a good thing. So please send in your $25. This really is your radio station.
I was at a writer's circle at my local library reading Ecologic's upcoming news to them back before Donna and Sally were writing it with me. One of the people told everyone that when she and her husband moved to New York City because of his job, they felt very lonely until they discovered WBAI. Listening to BAI, she realized, we have friends here. Suddenly, she didn't mind having moved out here. There is a specialness to WBAI that goes beyond the shows themselves.
The last time you listened to commercial radio, what were they trying to sell you? Another thing you don't need, another piece of plastic that will end up in the ocean. Next time, switch back to WBAI and donate in the name of Ecologic the cost of whatever that commercial was pushing. Just a thought.
You who listen to WBAI have access to information that your friends and family who don't listen don't have. You hear experts they don't hear. You have facts they don't have. You know about events that they don't know about. This is your station, your programming. Be part of it. And please share your love by donating in the name of Ecologic.
There was an opportunity a few years ago in October 2019 when producers and listeners met together to save the station from a rogue group from Pacifica that was threatening and almost closed WBAI. The good that came out of that is that we got to meet some of you. Gosh, you guys really are out there. Meeting you was the best that came out of that trying time, or one of them anyway. Another was forming a group of producers and listeners that we call WBAI Fightback, who still meet. I met listeners who were delighted to meet the voice in person and went on about how valuable Ecologic is and how much they appreciate us. Geez, she's always nice to hear. Let's hear from our listeners more. We have to find ways. Of course, when you donate to the station, we can know you are out there. Also, when you like us on Facebook or write to our email, which is on our website, or come to our events like the recent tour of Governor's Island, or when you come to a rally we tell you about, come on by. Let's think of more ways to interact. Tell the call center you are calling to donate or get a premium or become a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic.
Ecologic has many premiums to choose from for a donation to WBAI. Call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
We at WBAI continue to bring you great content only because of the support of listeners like you. And we have to ask for your help, or how would you know what we need? We support every environmental issue, so a donation to us is like supporting many groups.
We talk about actions, seminars, lobbying efforts, and more. Help us to help community groups get the word out. Ecologic brings you actions you can take, rallies, marches, direct actions, letters, emails, petitions, concerts, webinars. It's all important.
Some of us can't get to remote actions, but there are lots of ways to support, including donating to WBAI and Ecologic so that we can continue to bring you the activists, journalists, and eyewitnesses and more, along with environmental music and artists.
Your support of Ecologic really makes a difference.
There is never a need to tune in to another station. Go to the WBAI archives and listen to an episode of Ecologic that you missed or want to hear again. www.ecoradio.org has a list of the last 3 years of Ecologic and direct links to hear them.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. Mail to WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
We really hope that you'll take the time to look through our list of premiums. We're sure you'll find something you'll want. You can find all our premiums on ecologic.wbai.org.
Now you'll hear from our guest, Paula Rogovin. Welcome, Paula. Please introduce yourself.
Hi, thank you. Paula, I'm Paula Rogovin. I live here in New Jersey. I am a retired New York City public school teacher and now a practically full-time environmental and peace activist.
And what motivated you to start working on train safety?
Well, in 2013, there was a horrible, tragic derailment in Lamagantic, Quebec, and a train carrying volatile backing crude oil derailed and exploded like a bomb in the town of Lamagantic and killed 47 children as young as 3 years old. And adults. And I guess most of us didn't think much about train derailments before that time. We used to watch trains going by, and it was kind of a fun activity. But when we found out that these same trains carrying backing crude and other really hazardous materials are going right through our communities all through the United States, and we sprang into action. The train is two blocks from the CSX trains are two blocks from my house here in Teaneck. And but these trains in New Jersey go through small towns like ours, but through big cities like Newark and Jersey City, and they're extraordinarily dangerous. So we got to work. We had started with a demonstration right by the tracks here in Teaneck, and the press at that time was all over it, as they are when there's a major disaster. Mm-hmm. And we, within a few months, we had formed an organization, the Coalition to Ban Unsafe Oil Trains. And we've been active since 2014 fighting to raise the issues about rail safety and fighting for legislation. And we have not been successful in getting any legislation passed here in New Jersey. Most regulations are federal, but we had a Senate under the leadership of former Senator Loretta Weinberg. We found those issues that could be dealt with in state legislation, and we have not. We have worked so hard. We've had rallies and demonstrations and press conferences. And, you know, the railroads are controlled by the rail companies and the politicians who get money from the rail lobbyists. And so it's not about rail safety. It's about profit. And so this fight is so extremely difficult.
The bill keeps getting reintroduced, right, but doesn't move?
It kept getting last year, it got pulled the very, very last day. And another time, it got vetoed by Governor Christie. At one time, it got vetoed because the vice president of CSX Rail Company, Howard Skip Elliott, lobbied to get the bill rejected, vetoed. And the listeners must hear this story because it's so typical and it's so bad.
Yeah.
Howard Skip Elliott left CSX and went directly to the Trump administration, where he headed the Pipeline and Hazardous Materials Safety Administration.
Oy.
And they were responsible during the Trump administration of rolling back rail safety legislation, rail safety regulations, rolling one thing back after the other. And, you know, when you roll back, people fought to get regulations. It's a long, difficult process. So it's not that you can, under a new administration, just bring back regulations. It's a very difficult process, and this is a huge fight. Even after East Palestine, where there was great awareness about derailments and about rail safety, the federal legislation, week by week, seems to be getting weakened, and we have the rail lobbyists again at work.
What excuses do they use when they reject these bills?
Pardon me?
What excuses do they use when they reject these bills?
Oh, well, over the years here in New Jersey, they said it was about homeland security issues. You know, we don't want too much information about what's in these rail cars because of homeland security issues.
Oh, boy.
And, you know, it's not funny, but it's tragic. If you look at the tank cars that roll through in New York and New Jersey, all over the country, they're covered with graffiti. There are people climbing on these tank cars that carry vinyl chloride. They carry
and they also have the little tanks that explain what's on them. If you know the code, right? You've got the little red and blue triangles and squares and things that.
Right, and doesn't that excuse explain that they know that there's a problem?
Yeah. Well, this is what we've done very recently. We have a statewide coalition of groups has looked at the legislation again, and we've pinpointed some issue. We've separated out the rights to know section into a separate bill, but we've isolated the key issues that firefighters and other first responders have said were so important. Rail workers have said were so important. That is two-person crew minimum. lowering the length of the trains, putting in wayside detectors, which were, these were all, you know, the wayside detectors was one of the issues in East Palestine. And so we've started again with two new bills instead of one, and we are plugging away trying to get that passed. It's going to be difficult because they will find the rail lobbyists are at work always, and the politicians.
So you do have the first responders on your
side.
Yes, you have the first responders on your side.
Yes, we do. We
have the worker union.
The SMART, the Rail Workers Union, Rail Workers United, which is a rank and file group, and we have the Professional Firefighters, the International Association of Firefighters. So, in fact, one from the Ohio Professional Firefighters Association spoke virtually at our rally on Thursday, when we were marking the 10th anniversary of the Lamagantic tragedy. And the other firefighter who was supposed to speak from New Jersey, actually we read his statement because he was dealing with the tragedy at Port Newark where two firefighters were killed. So, but we're working closely with the first responders.
So the next thing to bring up is, what can our viewers do? Our viewers. What can our listeners do? What is there that we can do? Can we make what calls can we make? We like to give our listeners things that they can do to make solutions.
Okay, we don't have the bill yet in the federal bill in New Jersey. However, we do have. The name of our bill is A-5605, Senate, or S-4049, and it passed the transportation.
Repeat those numbers, Paula.
Sure. A-5605, S-4049, and A-5605 just recently passed out of the Transportation Committee, and it will be heard in the Assembly, the full Assembly. So that's good. So a number of us went to Trenton to testify. So that bill is starting to move, and if people want information about how they can get involved in that, they can write to the Coalition to Ban Unsafe Oil Trains at gmail.com.
Coalition to Ban Unsafe Oil Trains at gmail.com.
Yes.
How many states are also introducing bills like this? I mean, I would think with East Palestine and Ohio and Yellowstone River in Montana, there'd be a lot more motivation to have safety bills.
Well, I don't know how many, but I do know that we are working with the Professional Firefighters Legislative Committee, and they've been consulting with people in states all around the country. This is not an easy thing because, as I said before, most regulations are federal. So passing these state regulations is very limited and very difficult.
So now is your opportunity, everyone, to talk to Paula Rogovin about our topics today, rail safety issues and legislation. We invite you to call in with your questions. Please do. The call-in phone number is 212-209-2877. 212-209-2877 to ask your questions of Paula. On Monday, July 10th at 6 p.m., Reverend Ronald Tuff of Green Faith is hosting a kickoff meeting on to announce the creation of a skills readiness program geared to preparing residents of underserved communities to prepare for new green jobs being created by the clean, renewable energy sector. That is in person at First Bethel Baptist Church, 869 18th Avenue in Irvington. Just a little announcement while we're accepting your phone calls. Again, call in with your questions at 212-209-2877.
Yeah, I hesitate to want to go into detail about the Lac Megantic fire 10 years ago that motivated all this, because it's 6:30 in the morning or 20 to 7, but the image that I learned about the oil on fire flowing down the street and burning every building it touched, I mean, I just can't get that image out of my head. And I'm so glad that groups like yours exist because of things like that.
Yeah, it's such a tragedy. Horrible tragedy. We, in La Megantic on Thursday at noon, there was a huge gathering, including people from the United States, a huge gathering to mark the 10th anniversary. They read the names. They had rang a bell after each of the victims, which is the same thing we did. And we actually had a speaker, Gilbert Caret, from La Megantic, he's from the Coalition for Rail Safety in La Megantic. They're fighting the same fight that we are. And it's not a very popular issue that not many people are saying, oh, yeah, I want to fight for rail safety. It's an issue. There's endless derailments. There was one over the Yellowstone River very recently. We fought a year here in New Jersey, 1 year, to get CSX to repair a bridge over our reservoir, the Oradell Reservoir. It provides drinking water for 800,000 people. And we had to fight for a year. We had demonstrations and phone calls and marches and to fix a bridge to protect ourselves. It's not a fun fight, although working together with a lot of other activists and helping grow our movement, there's a lot of joy in being together and forming a community and singing together and marching together. But yeah, it's not one of those things that a lot of people are going to say, yeah, I want to get involved in this. But there are times when we're going to call on you to testify in Trenton to come to a rally or to come to a march, because this is a very important fight.
All right, Paula, we have one caller standing by.
No.
No?
No.
Yes, you do.
Oh, we do?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Hi, this is Angel. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
Yep. Hi, a wonderful show, although apocalyptic in many senses, so some of your topics. But I had a question for Paula regarding some of the guidelines you're seeking. Is it just on rail safety on commercial and cargo, or is it also for other, Amtrak, et cetera, et cetera? And the other question was, does it involve changing the number of, rail workers, the speed? I know you talked about marking what's on the car so that we know what they're carrying. I was amazed. I'm a New York City a kid, but an older kid, much older. But the question, I had never seen the rail until I was in Euclid, New York, and I was waiting for a train. And all of a sudden, I saw these cars coming by, and I counted over 100 or so cars. And it was just so overwhelming that I never really imagined that. So can you speak a little bit about how many cars are on the train that go by to your town? Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. The legislation is just about the hazardous materials, the freight trains. So it's just limited to that. And so the provisions that we want are to reduce the length of the trains because for a number of reasons. First of all, that's a whole lot of hazardous materials in one train. it's a whole the braking of trains that are that long is very difficult.
Difficult.
just simply the stability of something that long going on a track at high speed is unstable. I remember counting 100 car trains. They're more than that now. They're crazy long.
And another thing, just for the public, these long, long trains. Now, the town I live in, we have bridges, so all of the trains go under bridges in my town. But in many of the towns nearby, the trains go right on street level. And so if there's an emergency, if there are first responders getting to a fire or an ambulance getting somewhere, they can't go anywhere. They can't get to the other side of their town. And so these long trains can be deadly, in terms of people being able to get services. School buses can't get by. So having those long trains, there are many, many very important reasons, the safety reason being primary.
Yeah, a wait in an ambulance can be deadly.
Yeah. And we're talking about trains that are more than a mile long. I mean, that's absurd.
Well, last week we were talking about trains going along the Colorado River that are expected to be 2 miles long and affect the drinking water for tens of millions of people. They can do anything they want, apparently.
Yeah, and it's such a tragic situation because with the rail companies really controlling what's going on, they're making the trains longer. There is a real fight to prevent them from going down to one-person crews. That's a very primary fight for the Rail Workers United to have minimum of two-person crews. Somebody was pointing out at our rally, you wouldn't have an airplane with one-person crew, one pilot. You don't want to
always have a co-pilot.
Either.
Angel mentioned Amtrak, and the rails in this country are owned by the rail companies, the legacy freight rail companies, and Amtrak has an obligation to allow Amtrak trains to run, the passenger trains. We're really trying to fight to save our passenger rail system, but it's a constant tension. The freight companies would just as soon Amtrak go away, and we, people use them a lot.
One of the things that we're worried about is that with the rail companies in charge often of inspecting the rail bridges, they can't be trusted. They cannot be trusted, and so we're trying to make sure that there is more inspections, more trustworthy inspections,
the inspectors themselves. I remember reading Bob Henley's articles after Loch McGontic, and they saying management is pushing us to inspect more trains faster. We
Much
want to
faster.
Do a good inspection, but we're getting pressure. Gotta go fast.
Now,
right.
As usual, folks, the time goes by so quickly. It's time to wrap up. So thanks for joining us this morning. Thank you, Paula. We really appreciate your tireless activism. For more information, follow the link on our website, www.ecoradio.org. That's ECORADIO.org. In addition to an archive of our past shows, we have information on a variety of environmental topics, so you'll want to stop by.
You can also contact Paula and the Coalition at coalitiontobanunsafeoiltrains@gmail.com. We'd love to stay in touch with you. For those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. We're at WBAI Ecologic, no dashes.
And there's a link to the website for the Coalition to Ban Unsafe Rail Trains on our website, and it'll stay there for as long as that website does. Join us next week, Saturday, July 15th, and 6 in the morning. To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums at ecologic.wbai.org or become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy. Call 212-209-2950. We'd love to see those Ecologic buddy pledges.
WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. But of course, we always need your donations. We need your contributions to support everything that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment, upkeep, rent. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
We're always glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 a.m., live or on the archives. If you listen live, we may be able to take your call and answer your question.
If you missed the beginning of the show, it'll be on the WBAI archives in just 5 or 10 minutes. And our thanks to our engineer, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us next Saturday, July 15th, or find us on the archives. Check our website for details. Thanks for being our listeners.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
So solar power, inexpensive energy. So
Julian Joiello, and I'm a listener and supporter of WBAI. I'm a student at NYU, and I live in New York City. And I want to shout out to the other young listeners of WBAI. We have to help keep the station going, and the easiest way to do it is through the WBAI Buddy System. If you donate as little as $10 a month, you have proactively promoted free speech radio. Go to the website, WBAI.org, click the donate button, and make a difference.
Extinction Diaries. Salmon are facing extinction, perhaps now more in the western United States. Since year 2000, California salmon have been declining dramatically. Between 2002 and 8, Klamath River salmon had declined a horrific 90%. In 2008, 9, and now in 2021, the commercial salmon fisheries have been closed. Salmon have existed for over 5 million years and are vital to the sustainability of the ecosystem that extends well beyond the rivers. The first major decline came with the Gold Rush, which also saw a campaign of genocide against Santa people and a destruction of forests and other pristine ecosystems. This total demise is a shocking display of how fast the web of life can unravel. The Gold Rush mentality has never stopped, and is even more deadly today because it is disguised as progress and a false belief that protections are in place. In 2021, almost all juvenile salmon have died in the Klamath River, and California is allowing 90% to die in the Sacramento River. Time is running out to prioritize life on Earth. My name is Bella Waldbar, and this is a Small World Radio production.
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Stand up, stand up. You've been sitting way too long.
This is Ralph Nader. You can now listen to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. It'll be one of the least forgettable radio programs in your experience because we touch on subjects not covered by the mainstream media, the public media, and often the independent media. You can listen to this program on listener-sponsored WBAI at 99.5 FM. We're broadcast and streamed at WBAI.org.
It ain't gonna happen until folks like you and me just stand up. Well, you've been sitting way too long.
Oh, step up.
You know what's right and you know what's wrong.
Rise up.
Don't let the system hold you down.
Mother, this radio hasn't been working very well the past few days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
I wonder whatever became of you. Saturday.
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp.
When?
Saturday afternoons at 6 here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time. I should have been back here a long time ago.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
He's cool. He's exciting.
This dude is bad.
He's sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan. On WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got both.
Frank Hibbs with the sound of the trumpet.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's okay. I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
Thanks to you.
Thank you for thinking of me. I thank you. Let me say thank you. All you people out there.
I want to thank each and every one of you for coming by.
And while he's thanking those folks, let me take this opportunity to thank all of you, our listeners and support staff, our contributors, our interns, the volunteers, producers, and the entire crew that works countless hours to bring WBAI into your lives.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Christian McBride, and you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5.